Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we've been spending some time on sign gifts. So I'm going to finish the lesson. We're talking here about having a, we first of all dealt with a general understanding of gifts, right? Which is both sign gifts and gifts that are today used in the church. And in this section, we're dealing with having a particular understanding of spiritual gifts, because not all gifts are equal. And what I mean by that is the Bible makes a distinction between certain gifts. Certain gifts are actually called sign gifts. Again, and this is not something that we've made up. This is what the Bible says. So Paul, if we want to have a good understanding, if somebody says, all right, and you may not know all the answers, and you say, well, someone wants to maybe talk about, what about gifts in the church, sign gifts? If you want to have a good biblical understanding, you have to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Okay, those three chapters, Paul deals with the misunderstanding in the church at Corinth concerning sign gifts. And those three chapters deal with this, and Paul is very careful and very precise in what he talks about as he deals with gifts. But in chapter 14... He says in verse 20, 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So he quotes from the Old Testament, when he gives this truth, and he says, verse 22, wherefore, so notice he's referring back to an Old Testament prophecy. And he says, wherefore, now that we remember what the Old Testament prophet says, wherefore, tongues are for a what? Sign. Not to them that what?
Believe.
But to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So here we have a clear Bible principle, a clear Bible truth when it pertains to signs. So the truth is, tongues are for a sign. That's a Bible truth. The principle we learn here is that this sign even has a specific group of people that it is exercised to. The tongues is for those who do not believe. So when the church, right, was speaking in tongues in the first century, why did God see fit to give that sign to that church? It was to do what? That sign was for those who do not believe. Now, he says earlier in this same letter that the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. And when it comes to the Word of God, we believe it's the power of God. But there is this trend, and we find that throughout the entirety of the Bible, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament, that the Jews require a sign. And God often gave sign. And this sign was prophesied that there would be a sign to unbelieving Jews. That's what the tongues was for. And so here Paul, he expresses that. Why? Because obviously, he says in this context, he says, you all come to church and say, oh, I have a tongue and I have this prophecy and I have this. And he says, what are you doing? You're completely misunderstanding what this is all about. Now, we dealt with a number of truths. So this is the second part. If you missed last week, I would encourage you to listen, because we're going to continue on those truths. But We talked about how there are really two groups of spiritual gifts in the Bible. And the first group, which is what we're dealing with here, is that we find basically sign gifts, or we could also say passing gifts or temporary gifts. Gifts that God would give to the church that would only be for a season. The gift of tongues, the gift of healing, and those things. And by the way, it's not saying that we don't believe, for example, in healing. We believe, but we believe that God heals. That God doesn't give that gift to a man to exercise. So it was a sign. And by the way, the things that are being done today in the name of the gift of healing is not comparable to the Word of God. Nobody is raising anybody from the dead. All healing in the Bible is permanent. You don't find that today in the healing movement. And so when we're thinking about those things, there's some gifts that are considered sign gifts, temporary or passing gifts. And by the way, that's what a sign means, right? If you have a sign on the road, you drive past the sign. So you know the speed limit. You have the stop sign. When you see the sign, you passed it. That sign is behind you. That's the whole purpose of a sign. It's not designed to be a permanent thing. That's why it's called a sign. So there's the sign gifts, but then there's also a second classification, which we'll look at later, and that is serving gifts, or we could say lasting or permanent gifts, gifts that are always going to be true, used and used in the church. And so we talked about under sign gifts, we talked about the purpose of sign gifts. What was the purpose of sign gifts? Well, remember, Jesus Christ, before those were exercised in the church, in Mark chapter 16, he said that you need to go and preach everywhere. And then he says they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Important. So go preach everywhere. That's the command. The command was not to do signs. The command was go everywhere, preach the word. And the Bible says, the Lord working with them. And how did God work with them? Confirming the word. Who did the confirming? God did, not the apostles. They needed to preach the word. God worked with them and confirmed the word that they preached, that they were commanded to preach, with signs following. So again, before we get to Acts and we see those sign gifts, Jesus Christ told them, and the purpose was that God, at particular time, sign gifts are not true for every single moment of a person's life. There, God, every once in a while, when the gospel would be preached, God saw fit to confirm the preaching, to validate either the messenger or the message by giving a sign. To who? To the unbelieving Jews. That's who the gospel was first preached to. We see that. Now, the purpose here, sign gifts were given to confirm the word being preached, to give evidence. We saw that in Hebrews as well. Then we talked about about the prophecy of sign gifts. And we refer to here 1 Corinthians chapter 14, even Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, you remember the crowd gathers around Peter and John, and they're amazed, they're wondering, some people are mocking that the people are speaking in tongues. And you remember what Peter says? He said, actually, what happened before you is what Joel prophesied about. What did Joel prophesy? Joel prophesied that there would be this, people would speak with unknown tongues, and that when the Jews would see that sign, they would not believe. That's what the prophecy was about. And by the way, now some Jews believe, obviously, but the majority did not, that saw those signs. And so we see here that was a prophecy. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. He refers back to a prophecy. That's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2. He referred back to the prophecy of Joel. Now we're continuing here and picking it up. And there's a third point under there. So the first point, if you took notes last week, is the purpose of sign gifts. Then we talked about the prophecy of sign gifts. And this morning, we're going to continue and talk about the performance of sign gifts. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 16. We're going to begin reading in verse 15. And so we have the command from Jesus Christ. Mark 16, verse 15. So Jesus says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, what was the command? The command straightforward. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is there any command to do miracles so far? No. He says, if those who believe the message, will be saved. Those who do not believe the message will be damned. And so he says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. That believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Now, is there a command to do signs, miracles? He says, that's what's going to happen. You see, it's a prophecy. These signs shall follow them that believe. The command is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And God says, now something is going to happen so that you know who believes. There's going to be signs that's going to accompany and follow. He says, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and they shall, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There is no command to do it. It just says it's going to happen. It's a prophecy, much like you find in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, concerning those things that we read during the life of Christ, and in the first century church, those prophecies are being fulfilled. There's never a command to do those things. The command is preach the word, preach the gospel to every creature. And so this is, and often we may not think of it this way, but this is true. This, Mark 16 verse 16 through 18, it is a prophecy from Jesus Christ. And this prophecy includes the following. Those who preach in my name will cast out devils. They will speak in tongues. They will take up deadly serpents, and they will heal. And so we notice several things about this prophecy. First of all, this prophecy, now it's important now that we have the whole of the Bible, this prophecy from Jesus Christ has already been fulfilled. It's already been fulfilled. When you think about prophecies, you have to say, okay, this prophecy, when it's fulfilled, it does not need to be fulfilled again. We don't need Jesus Christ to come again and die on the cross for us. That's already been fulfilled. It doesn't need to be repeated. Now, this is what Jesus prophesied about before Acts. Let's see if that prophecy has been fulfilled in the book of Acts. So I'm going to have different people turn. Who'd like to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4? Acts 2, 4. Matthew, Acts 3, 6 through 8. All right, Ray, Acts 16, verse 18. All right, Frank, and then Brother Wagner, Acts 28, verse 3 through 6. Okay, so notice those are specific prophecies from Jesus Christ and Mark. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. They're going to take up serpents. And they shall lay hands on the sick and shall recover. So healing. So, okay, four things that Jesus Christ prophesied. Let's see if they're fulfilled in Acts. So Acts 2, 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Okay. So was the gift of tongues fulfilled in the book of Acts? They did, right? So it was prophesied, and they did that. We see that fulfilled. That prophecy was fulfilled. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 6 and 8. Ray.
Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Okay, so do we see in the book of Acts the gift of healing being fulfilled? Yes. Okay. Let's look at another one. Acts 16, verse 18. I think Brother Frank.
And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
Okay. Did they cast out devils during the book of Acts? They did. Let's one more. There's one more missing. That's the serpent one. All right, so Acts 28, Brother Wagner, 3 through 6.
And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook him off. He shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god, small g.
All right, so all four signs that said would accompany the message and confirm the message happen in the book of Acts. So the prophecy has already been fulfilled. They've been fulfilled. Repeat. Now, we only read one example of each of the one, but basically all four things that are mentioned have already been fulfilled. We don't need to try to fulfill them again. Now, it is interesting today that there are churches who are built on one of those signs or a multiplicity of those signs that built their denomination and church on those things. Some people are all about the tongue speaking, and they believe that if part of your salvation is you have to speak in tongues. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't say that anywhere. What you do find is the Holy Ghost coming upon them, not them being saved, but to do sign miracles. It happened twice in the book of Acts. Once among the Jews, once with the Gentiles in the presence of Jews. So that's what you find in the book of Acts. You think about healing. Well, obviously, Peter and Paul were involved in healing. They did those things. And you think about casting out devils. They also did those things. There's a Baptist movement out there, Baptist churches, that are snake handlers. Tennessee, Georgia, where we were, there were some. And by the way, many of those pastors and members have died being bit by the snakes. And what they'll do is after it's passed, they'll say, oh, well, I guess he didn't have enough faith. They don't understand. Those signs were there to confirm the message. What should they be doing? Instead of trying to handle snakes in front of a congregation, they should probably just preach the gospel. There is no command in the Bible that says if you handle snakes, people will be saved. Now, if you preach the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. But you know what that does is, and people have been caught, you know, sometimes what they'll do is before they'll try to deceive the people, they'll drain all the poison from the snakes. And then they'll handle them, and then the snake bites them, right? It's all deceptive. It's all lie. A lot of those things have been found out. Even people that, churches that heal, it's been found out that people have been picked pre, and there's a whole scenario that's already been built, and the background of the story. A lot of that stuff is just, it's awful because it's not real, it's not genuine. And they attribute that to the Holy Spirit. So they say, well, Pastor, why are you dealing with that, with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit? Because it fits right in that. People say, this is what the Spirit of God is doing. And I say, he is not involved in all those things. Now, can God heal and do miracles? Yes, he can. But I don't believe today he gives those gifts to men to accompany the message of the gospel. Those prophecies have already been fulfilled. Okay, we don't need to try to fulfill those prophecies again. So we see that this prophecy has already been fulfilled. The prophecy from Christ fulfilled in the book of Acts. We also see, secondly, that this prophecy, as I mentioned, does not need to be fulfilled again. And so that's the point. So we see here the performance of those sign gifts. They've already been done. Now, let's look at the next point, number four, and that is this, the passing of sign gifts. Is there any evidence in the Bible that those things would be temporary? Well, I think the first thing is that the Bible says they're signs. They are for a sign. If you hold a sign, a signpost, you hold it up and you say it's a sign. It's designed to be temporary. It's not a permanent thing. But there is also, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, notice with me, let's... read a few of those verses here. Notice verse 4. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Okay, that's chapter 12. Sorry, chapter 13. He says, charity never faileth, but whether, 13:8, there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall what?
Cease.
Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, it seems clear that the gift of tongues would at some point cease. Now, we know this not because of what this verse says, because we already know it's a sign. It's designed to be temporary, not permanent. And so it was never intended to be an ongoing gift. Rather, it was temporary, and it was a sign. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, go with me to Hebrews 2. We dealt with this verse last week, but in chapter 2, notice with me, let's begin reading in verse 1. So Hebrews 2, chapter 1 is all about Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God. He goes on, chapter 1 is phenomenal, but he says this is about Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews, written to Hebrew Christians, those who were by ethnicity Jews, but they were Christians. Okay? So, in chapter 2, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So notice here, Jesus started speaking about the word of this salvation. Who is them that heard him? Who is that? Specifically, the disciples, right? The 12 apostles. Ephesians tells us that the church is built upon the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When the command is given to the disciples, before Jesus ascends, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So that's the direct command. Jesus Christ taught his disciples who became the apostles would be those who would teach what? What started with Jesus Christ. And so here he says, notice that it was confirmed, verse 3, unto us by them that heard him. How was it confirmed? Because we know Jesus Christ did miracles. We know he was the Messiah. He died on the cross. He was the express image of God. He spent chapter 1 saying, but now we're talking about what about the generation after Jesus Christ, after he ascended. He says, God, verse 4, also bearing them, the apostles, witness. How did God bear them witness? Notice, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, that's important here because notice he says, God bear them witness, the apostles, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles. Who bears witness of who? In chapter 4. Who bears witness of who? That's a question. God bears witness of the disciples. It's not the other way around. It's not the disciples trying to prove themselves, trying to prove to the world that, no, it's God. It's the act of God. It's not the act of men. And so the signs and the miracles is what God did. Notice, and gifts, and he says at the end of the verse, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. He says, don't you remember? It was done according to God's will. It was not what men did. Remember when the first miracle, when the lame man was laying at the beautiful gate, and they healed the man who was lame, and the people thronged around them, and they were like, and Peter says, no, it's not us. And you know what he did after that? He preached the gospel. He didn't say, oh, let me show you some more. No, it was in that moment God did something. It was not Peter. You see, that's what, you know, those who claim today to have the gift of healing and those different, I say to them, well, go to the hospital and heal everybody. They're not going to do it. Why? Well, they'll say something, well, they need faith. When was faith requested for a miracle? It was never requested. Jesus said that person had faith, but he never requested for faith. As a matter of fact, some people were healed that didn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so you find that. So this is what God did. And so he says that to those believers. And he says, again, they were Jews. That's who the signs were for. And it says, God bear witness. And he did that by his own will. Turn back with me. Now notice here, what's the tense of the verse? Past tense. So he's not saying God is still bearing witness today. He bare witness then. Not today. Why? Well, because first of all, the prophecy has been fulfilled. It doesn't need to be fulfilled again. Whenever there is a prophecy, man does not fulfill the prophecy. God does. That's important. Right. He uses men to fulfill it, but the point is, God is the fulfiller of prophecy. So, let's look at another verse, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Who'd like to read that verse, if you're there already? 2 Corinthians 12:12. All right, Ray, go ahead.
2 Corinthians 12:12.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12:12, sorry.
Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds.
Okay, so let's look at the tense. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. What's the tense? Past. So he's not saying, well, you know, today. No, he says they were wrought. The signs, in other words, says have already been fulfilled, and it's the signs of the apostles. I believe the signs were during the time of the apostles. There are no apostles today. Doesn't matter if a church has a banner and it says apostle so-and-so. There are no apostles today. An apostle is a witness, an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we find here that the signs of an apostle were wrought. What was the signs? Casting out devils, healing, tongue speaking, snake handling. Not handling, but not being hurt by the snakes. And that was fulfilled. So both Hebrews 2 and 2 Corinthians 12, the sign gifts are spoken of in past tense. These signs were done then, therefore they are no longer needed today. You will not find one command in the New Testament epistles that says you all need to do all these things. You all need to go out and heal people. You all need to go out and speak in tongues. You all need to go out and handle serpents. You all need to go out and cast out devils. No, you all need to go out and preach the gospel. Live a holy life. That's the things that are commanded. Consider an example in Acts, when the Gentiles also received the gift of tongues. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Now, we know Pentecost was a moment, right? Acts 2. They were commanded to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Ghost come down. Remember, when the Holy Ghost came down, there was flames of fire above their heads, and they received supernatural ability from God by His will to speak. Remember, the miracle was they spoke in an unknown tongue to them, but known to the recipients. So the miracle was twofold. There was a miracle in those who were speaking, and there was a miracle in those who were hearing. Because if you had somebody over here from Cyprus and somebody over here from North Africa, they both heard the same thing in their own languages. Well, that's not what a man could do. That's what God did. So that there was a miracle in the speaking, but there's a miracle in the hearing. Now, in Acts 10, verse 45 and 46, Well, verse 44, now while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And so, chapter 11, notice verse 15. So the Jews are upset because Peter ate in the house of a Gentile, with a bunch of Gentiles gathered. And so he rehearses to the believers in Judea the whole story, and he says this in verse 15 of chapter 11. And as I began to speak, referring back to chapter 11, chapter 10, verse 44 through 46, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Did you get that? There was a moment of time that God wanted us to do. He's doing something. And it was just like, you remember that beginning experience? Acts 2 in Jerusalem? So in other words, what he is saying, it didn't happen all along. You see that? It hasn't been happening all along. You see it in Acts 2, you see it in Acts 10. Where in Acts in between do you see that happening? No, he says, you remember what God did in Acts 2? When God did that at that moment, he's done it again here, and he came down upon Gentiles. So it doesn't seem that it's something that every believer was supposed to have every single, all the time. It happened then, it happened again now, just like it did at the first. So you know what that means? If there was a first, this is what? What comes after one? Two. So first time, second time. You see that? Not all along. So these sign gifts were not continually used throughout the book of Acts. These sign gifts were given, just like, for example, the healing part that happened here, here, not all along, everywhere they went, but here, here, here. The serpent experience, there's just one record in the book of Acts of that. And so the preachers in Acts were not seeking for signs. They were preaching Jesus Christ. God at specific moments chose to bear witness of the messenger and the message by signs. But here is, and I'm done here, but here we have to have the precaution with signs, sign gifts. You know, there is a great danger in people seeking for signs today. We know that Satan is able to produce signs and wonders. We know that. That's what the Bible tells us. You remember when Moses goes to Egypt and he does, right, signs before the people so the people believe that Moses is the messenger of God. He does signs before the Pharaoh so that Pharaoh knows that he's God. But the sorcerers in Egypt were able to do a lot of the same things. Now, not as powerful. We know, right, the snakes and all those things. Now, their snakes were eaten by Moses' snake. So we get all that. God's more powerful. But the point is, it could be duplicated in some measure. The devil is powerful. You find that in the Old Testament. You find that through sorcerers. We read already in the book of Acts. Sorcery was very prevalent throughout that area of the world. And so what converted people was not the signs when Peter or Paul showed up at places. People were converted. Why? By the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, every once in a while, God would do a sign here and there. God would show people, this is my messenger, these are my messages. But let's not be fooled today. I believe that there are many things that are taking place in the name of the Holy Spirit that have very little to do with the Spirit and probably much to do with Satan. Who is doing what? Deceiving people. He's deceiving people. Let me ask this question. What is God primary work in the world today? To save sinners from sin. That's the work of God. That is what we are supposed to be doing. And so if there is, when we think about all those different sign gifts, they're temporary in nature, or if you think about somebody who is healed physically. You know, someone can be healed physically, whether they go to the doctor or they're healed supernaturally, but that physical healing does not prevent them from dying in their sins. In other words, it may, to our eyes, be a great work, but indeed, the person who is healed will die. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Guess what? He died again after that. Now, I think we all agreed Lazarus was probably a believer in Christ because of his relationship to Jesus Christ. He was there in many places where Jesus was there. So I believe he was a believer. But the point is, what is more important? Those signs, things that do nothing for the soul of men, or the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, I think the answer we know is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have people today, a large portion of people, who are more interested in becoming wealthy and being healthy than they are in having their soul cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the world is more interested in temporary things than it is in permanent healing and spiritual walk with God. And so may the Lord help us to understand those things and to discern those things. So we'll talk next week about, so this is really falls through the era of sign gifts or passing temporary gifts. But now we're going to talk next week about serving gifts. What are the gifts that are today to be used? In the, there are gifts for the church today that all of us can use in the church. And by the way, those gifts are much greater than any sign gifts. I really believe that. Because, we see in 1 Corinthians 14, because of what they do for us and what they do for the church. And so we'll talk about that next week.